listening to Forecast, the marketing podcast for professional services leaders. If you're looking to generate more leads, win more deals, and take your firm to the next level, this show is your shortcut. Hey there, and welcome back to the show. This is part three in our series on how to choose your ideal clients. In part one, we looked at why it's really critical to choose your ideal clients and to narrow your focus down to a smaller segment of the market. And then in part two, we looked at the hard criteria that you can use to decide who your ideal clients should be. So now that you have a better idea of who your ideal client is, in this lesson, we're going to take the next step forward and help you get inside their heads so you can really begin to understand what they need and what they're looking for. But before we get into that, if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, that is a great place to get started. You can join us inside the course for free by visiting 5leadgen.com, and you can spell out 5 or use the number, either one works. That's 5leadgen.com. We're going to kick off this lesson with a story about George Orwell, who's the famous author of 1984, Animal Farm, and a few other lesser known works. Now, George Orwell is one of the most famous and celebrated authors of the 20th century, but not many people know what Orwell's secret was. Was it his attention to detail? Was it his insatiable curiosity? Was it his odd love for goats? Maybe it was all of those things, but there was one critical ingredient to Orwell's genius that's often overlooked, and that's his ability to empathize with his characters and with his audience. See, Orwell came from a very privileged background. His family was wealthy, he went to the best private schools, and he was a member of the British Imperial Police before becoming a writer, which I'm told is kind of a big deal. And early in his writing career, Orwell realized that he knew very little about what life was like on the social margins. He had only ever known a life of privilege, and that bothered him. So he wanted to experience firsthand what it was like on the fringe of society. How did those people act? How did they think? How did they feel? What were their goals? What were their aspirations? How different were they from everyone else? Now, of course, this is the kind of curiosity that makes for a great writer, but most people, even writers, would stop right there. Or at most, maybe they would go into the slums and, you know, have a few conversations with people to understand how they think and how they see the world. But Orwell went much further than that. He actually went undercover as a tramp or a beggar on the streets of East London, and then later, Paris as well. He changed his name, he traded in his suit for some scruffy overalls, and he immersed himself in the tramp life. Then he documented his experiences in a book called Down and Out in Paris and London. Now, that experience not only expanded Orwell's moral universe and cultivated his curiosity, but it also rewarded him with a motherload of literary material that he then used for the rest of his life. And that's what set Orwell apart from everyone else. It was his ability to empathize with other people, to put himself in their shoes, and to see the world through their eyes. That's what made his work so brilliant and so captivating. Now, if you're wondering, what in the world does George Orwell have to do with my business? The answer is everything. See, Orwell's secret weapon to writing best-selling novels was empathy. And you can use the very same tool of empathy to attract more clients and to create compelling value propositions, hopefully without having to dress up like a tramp. So let's take a step back for a minute and define empathy. Now, here's the textbook definition. Empathy is the psychological identification with or the vicarious experiencing of the feelings, thoughts, or attitudes of another person. In other words, empathy is to experience the world the way somebody else experiences it. It's a cognitive and emotional identification with another person, and it's very different from sympathy, which is more of a third-party emotional response. You can sympathize with someone without really going out of your way to understand who they are or what they're going through, but empathy requires a much higher level of commitment. George Orwell did not want to merely sympathize with the downtrodden by expressing pity or sorrow for their condition. He already sympathized with them before he went undercover. He wanted to empathize with them by actually living life in their shoes. And that's how George Orwell used the power of empathy to write novels and memoirs. But you can also use the power of empathy to build stronger relationships with your prospects and your clients. Some of the greatest examples of this in the business world are in advertising. Empathy is the key ingredient behind some of the most wildly successful ads of all time, because empathy drives emotion, and emotion drives decision. One study that examined the profitability of 1,400 ad campaigns found that purely emotional communications performed about twice as well as purely informational communications. Because what those emotional ads were able to do was create empathy between the viewer and the subject of the ad in ways that an informational campaign simply couldn't. When you're done with this lesson, I want you to head over to the show notes for this episode, where I have linked three specific ads that are brilliant works of empathy. One is by Google, another by Procter & Gamble, and the last one by Volkswagen. And you'll see how each of these ads uses empathy as a tool to spark an emotional connection between you and the subject of the ad. Now, unless you have the ad budget of Google or P&G, you can't afford to pay an expensive ad agency to empathize with your customers. You're going to have to find a way to do this on your own. And there are two tools that I want to introduce you to help with that. And both of these tools are going to be linked from the show notes. The first is a tool called the Empathy Map. The Empathy Map is a simple brainstorming tool designed to help you get inside your customer's head and see the world the way that they see it, and then improve the way that you communicate with them. The Empathy Map, at its core, contains four quadrants. The first is thinking. This is where you're answering the question, what goes through your customer's mind before, during, and after interacting with your product or service? What are they thinking? The second is seeing. How does your customer see your product or service relative to the competition? How do they view your industry as a whole? What is their worldview in relation to what you're selling? What do they see? The third is feeling. How does your customer feel about your solution? What emotions does your work evoke? What emotions do you want to avoid in your work? And the fourth is doing. How does your customer actually use the service? How does it integrate into their lives and into their work? What tangible benefits do they experience by doing something with it? Those are the four quadrants of an empathy map: thinking, seeing, feeling, doing. So you want to take out a sheet of paper, draw four quadrants, and just start writing down what your prospect is thinking, what your client is seeing, what your customer is feeling, and what they're doing in relation to what you're selling, before, during, and after the experience. The goal here is to put yourself in the customer's shoes and begin to see everything from their perspective. If you do this right and you take this exercise seriously, I can promise you, you will begin to see everything from a different perspective. You'll begin to see your marketing communications more clearly. You'll find conversations that you have with prospects are much easier, and you'll begin to identify with what their needs are and be better able to express how you can help. The second tool I'll mention is called the Value Proposition Canvas, which is a tool that was developed by the same folks who created the Business Model Canvas, which we discussed previously. Now, this tool is important because it'll help you take the empathy map that you created and the perspective that you gain from getting inside your customer's head, and then connect it to the value proposition of your services and solutions. And I'm not going to go through the details of how that works, because there's a very useful video from the folks who created it that'll walk you through how to use the Value Proposition Canvas, and I'm linking to that in the show notes as well. Now, let's wrap up this discussion on empathy. Now, Steve Jobs famously said, in probably one of the most misapplied quotes in modern business, he said that people don't know what they want until you show it to them. And that could not be more true for professional services. Your clients often don't know what they want when they walk in the door or call you up for the first time. All they know is they have a problem that needs to be solved, and they're coming to you for help. The thing is, you're conditioned to view their problems a certain way because you're the expert, and clients come to you because of your authority. But sometimes your expertise can get in the way of empathizing with what your client is actually going through. Maybe you take some things for granted. Maybe you didn't do a very good job explaining some of the more trivial matters to you that are actually really important to the client. Or maybe you gloss over some of their concerns because you think they're really not that critical, but in the client's mind, they are critical. Or maybe you're just not able to provide the client with the confidence that they need to hire someone like you, even though you know you're the best person for the job. So when all is said and done, if the deal goes sour and you're left wondering, what just happened? Why didn't the client buy? Why did they go with somebody else? How could they not choose us? If that's what you're thinking, then you probably have an empathy problem. And the two exercises that I mentioned in this lesson, if you go through them and take them seriously, they will help you solve that problem. So that's officially a wrap on this lesson and our series on how to choose your ideal clients. Again, in part one, we looked at why it's critical that you narrow your focus to a specific segment of clients. In part two, we looked at the four criteria that you can use to choose who your ideal clients are. And then in this lesson, we covered how to empathize with your clients by getting inside their heads and connecting the value of what you do to the needs and the pain points that are on their minds. With that, if you haven't yet subscribed to the show on iTunes, do me a big favor and go and do that right now. Pull up iTunes, search for Forecast Marketing, click on the show, hit subscribe, and while you're at it, leave us a rating and a review. It helps more people discover the show, and I would be very grateful. And if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, there is a ton of value packed into that course. It's 5 short lessons. It won't take you very long at all to go through them. And by the end of it, you will have a proven framework to generate a flood of new business for your firm. You can join us inside the course at no charge by visiting 5leadgen.com, and you can spell out 5 or use the number. Either one works. That's 5leadgen.com. Thank you for listening.